You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On this week's regular segment, in collaboration with Our Action Station, we're discussing digital exclusion in the public sector and how the shift to online forms of communication is leaving some of our population behind. Andrew Hubbard, Deputy Chief Executive of the Citizens Advice Bureau, spoke with me today about their petition and their push to gain governmental support for those feeling excluded from reaching out for help using online means. Firstly, I just wanted to ask if you could tell me a little bit about this Leave No One Behind campaign.
Yeah, we're running a campaign which is about ensuring that public services remain accessible for everyone who needs them in a way that works for them. And this is really about concern that the drive to put public services online as the main or only way to access them is leaving behind some of the most vulnerable people in our community. So that campaign was really driven by the experience of what CABs are seeing around the country.
Why has this been important to make sure that people get caught up?
Well, it's really about making sure that public services are available in a way that works for people. And what, as I said, it was really driven by the concern about the harm that we're seeing from clients across the country. So we have more than 80 CABs across the country. We help around 400,000 people a year. And what we're seeing is clients who are struggling to access information about their entitlements or public services because they're not able to access them online. And as a result of that, those concerns, we did some more in-depth research into those clients. And what it really showed for us was that there are a whole range of barriers that stop people from being able to access services online. So it's not only about devices or digital competence, but there's a whole range of other barriers in place, such as literacy, language barriers, financial barriers, disability, all of those other things come into play. And so our campaign is really focused on recognising that digital services are great for some people, but they're not for others, and that simply expecting that we'll be able to support people to access services online isn't a realistic expectation. And what is happening instead is that people are being unable to access services that they should be able to access, and often they're some of the most vulnerable people. Our research pointed to the fact that it was disproportionately Māori and Pacifica people who were struggling to access those services online, and it also highlighted the fact it is really a whole range of people. Often what springs to mind is older people who are disproportionately affected, but almost 25% of the people, clients we saw who were impacted, were under 40, so it is a whole range of people who are impacted.
If there's no significant intervention, how is this issue going to get worse in the future?
Our concern is that the government isn't really coming to grips with the problem, and so what will happen is that services will become increasingly inaccessible for people who don't want to or can't access them online, and they won't be able to access services that they're entitled to. I'll give you an example. For instance, recently we had a client who was facing bullying at work, and you know, they tried to resolve the issue with the employer and hadn't succeeded, so they decided that they learned that there was free employment mediation that's provided by Employment Services, the government agency. But in order to access that free employment mediation, you need to apply online, you need to have a RealMe account, you need to download a form, you need to re-upload that form, and that was all too much for this person to be able to cope with. And I think anyone who's had to use RealMe can sympathise with that. And it's particularly the case often when people are in vulnerable situations that it's particularly problematic. So lots of people are, you know, they might be fine to chat to their family on WhatsApp or use Facebook or whatever their kind of digital platform of choice is. But when it comes to interacting with government over an issue that's really significant, that might have a long-term impact on them, it can be quite different to say, well, let's just do that online. So whether that's interacting with Work and Income or Inland Revenue, often it's something that, you know, you just want to be able to pick up the phone and talk to someone. I mean, to be clear, we're not saying let's not have online services, because we recognise that they're really good for many people. But what we're saying is that there needs to be equitable access to government services for people who can't or don't want to use online services.
What are some of the proposed solutions that you're asking for from the government?
So we submitted a petition to Parliament last year, which has just been reported back, and there's going to be a special debate in Parliament on the 28th of July on the petition. That's very unusual, which I think goes to the significance of the problem that we are raising. And so I think there are a few different things that need to be done. Firstly, you know, a first step would be great to see mandate from the top of government, including from the Minister of Public Services, to recognise the problem and to really put some leadership into saying that public services need to be designed to be accessible in a wide range of different ways. And there are a number of international examples of how that's been done, which aren't, you know, we're not saying roll back the clock and every government agency has to have a counter service. But there are some innovative ways that you could go about ensuring that services are still available person to person for people. And so there are examples that we could look at online overseas from, for example, Canada or New South Wales. But certainly, you know, as a very first step, we want to see some leadership from the Minister of Public Services and the Public Service Commission to say, actually, public services need to be designed in a way that supports equitable provision of public services across a range of different ways that people want to access them.
And how could businesses help as well?
You know, this campaign is focused on public services, but we do recognise that the problem impacts people using businesses as well. So we're seeing real issues around things like banking, for example, and the withdrawal of ways to access those services which aren't digital. And I think it's about ensuring that people think through the wide range of ways that people need to be able to access kind of key services, including banking and utilities, another example of a private business that we're concerned about.
Finally, are you confident that the government will hear the issues that you guys have raised and actually make a significant change in the near future?
Well, we're open-minded that maybe they will. So far, we haven't had great buy-in from the Minister of Public Services in particular, but we've had a number of MPs who recognise the problem because it's something they encounter themselves when they're working with members of their community. So we're hopeful that the message will start getting through. And I think it's really important that there is that leadership from government around this issue, and it's not just left to public services to make their own decisions about this. If people want to find out a bit more about the campaign, we've got a campaign website, which is inclusioncampaign.cab.org.nz, and that gives a bit more information about the campaign. Also, give some suggestions if people are concerned about the issue, how they can get involved and help us with the campaign.
That was Andrew Hubbard from the Citizens Advice Bureau speaking to me about digital exclusives.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.